collection of the Psalms, the 46th Psalm. The very first verse says, God is our refuge and strength. But here's the big part of that verse. If that's not enough, he's our refuge and strength. Here's the big part of that verse. A very present help in trouble. And you know what the big word is in that last big phrase? Present. Present. And if I need to this morning to get your thinking, get your attention to where I need it to be, present tense is what he's saying. A very present help in trouble means that he is present tense. It's wonderful to talk about the God of the past, the God of the Sunday school teacher that tells us all about those stories and things that have taken place in the past, how he healed and he loved and he cared and he fed, walked on water, raised the dead, just so many things about the past. And it's a wonderful, wonderful aspect to understand the God of the past. And then there's the God of the evangelist that talks about him in the place of judgment. Talks about the glory of heaven and holiness is written on him and how he will stand in the end time as the Almighty and the Supreme, and everything will be under him, and Satan himself will be cast into the lake of fire. Wow. It's great to be able to talk about the God of the future, but what we need today is a God of the present. A God for today. I'm not talking about three different gods. I'm not even suggesting that there's three different gods. But I'm simply wanting us to understand that God in his past and in his future is not negligent for the present tense now, that we need him now. The psalmist said, a very present help in trouble. One of my heroes of years past said, to know God of the past, one would have to admire him. And to know God of the future, one would have to fear him. But to know the God of the present is to love him. To know the God of the present is to love him. Now, there's a number of things, and I'm not going to go through them this morning. Number of things that reveal to us and make it present, make it an understanding for us of why we need a God of the present. We need a God of the present because this world is evil, because of all the sin that is around us. A God of the present is who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. We also need a present God in this world because the present world has a way of drawing us away from God, and we rub shoulders with sin on a regular basis. There's all kinds of things that will draw our attention away from God, but we need a present God in the midst of our lives and in the midst of all the circumstances of our lives. We need a God who will be with us in those times. A present God. A present God, because there's all sorts of suffering in this world. We need a present God in the midst of the emotional sufferings and the physical sufferings and the mental sufferings, when everything seems to come pressing in and collapsing on us. You know, you don't have to go very far. And if you're aware and if you're paying attention, you can just find people all around you on a daily basis, if you're out and about in this present world, who have all kinds of burdens and perplexities and complexities that they are carrying, things that they don't understand. Things that they're weighed down under. And you read the news, you listen to the news, you can see it all around you, that people are grieved by all the problems that they face. We need a present God to help them in the midst of these circumstances and troubles that they find, that they face. Instead of trying to cover up our personal feelings, to realize that we have something to give to those that are around us that have a problem, that we have a present God to help us, not just simply so that we can be better, but so that we can tell it to somebody else. If we don't have something for ourselves, it's kind of hard for us to share it with somebody else. Oh, it's good from time to time to testify for somebody else and to thank God for their blessing. But it's good that we have something present tense, that we have a present tense God to help those that are around us as well. Not just simply, I'm going to give you money to care, but to give them something that is greater than even that. And the problems that they have, they can see and have a present tense God. You know, we're looking into a world that is hopeless. We see the circumstances of the world around us that they are hopeless. The issues of life that are hopeless. We need a present tense God so that we can give them hope. Paul the apostle was standing on the upper deck, I presume what it was, of a ship that was fixing to go down. It was fixing to wreck. But because of his contact with God, because of his particular relationship was up to date with God, he was able to stand in front of all of those people who did not know the God that he knew. And he said, "Fear not, because God stood by me and he told me that we will make it. The ship will be lost, but our lives will be spared." You and I need to have that kind of a relationship with God to share it with somebody else. I'm thinking about Elijah when he and the servant got up in the morning and went out of the city. And then the servant, the only thing that he could see in the midst of all of what was transpiring and trying to escape for their lives, that the end was very near, that the mountains around were surrounding them with chariots and people that were there for one reason, and to kill, and that was to kill Elijah. But Elijah said, "God, open up his eyes so that he can see that these mountains are even surrounded by the unseen chariots of God." And he recognized that God was ever present, even in those circumstances, in those troubling times that he faced and that he experienced. We need a present God. Why do we need a present God? Because everything around us is trying to draw us away from God. This world is not a friend of grace. You've heard me say that a number of times. This world is not a friend of grace, and we need to have a present God so that we can be brought back to the realities of Scripture and the absolutes of God's Word. The story has been told of a Lloyd Douglas. A friend of his was a violin instructor. And they often conversed and asked what the good word was for the day. And this violin instructor said that his response to what is the good day, he said, or what is the good word for the day? And the old instructor would reach for his tuning fork and he'd say, "This is the good word for the day." And he didn't understand. Douglas didn't understand what that was, what he was talking about. But the instructor said, in the midst of all the chaos of the soprano singing in this practice room and the tenor over here in this practice room, and everybody's got their little flat note here or a high note there, and it's confusing, but he pulls out the tuning fork and he strikes it so that he can have the perfect pitch that he's looking for. You see, that's what it is when we are caught up in the circumstances of our world. We pull out the tuning fork of God's Word and we say, "Here is the ultimate word, and here is the final say, and this is what God has to say about something, and this is the ever-present today God for the in the midst of all of our circumstances and all of our problems." A present God. We can go around this room this morning and we can talk about the various problems that maybe you experience or your family experiences or your friends that have shared with you and the problems that they experience. And we can get so caught up and discouraged in the midst of all of these problems. But we must understand and be renewed in our hope and reality that God is a refuge and is a strength, not just of the past, not just of the future, but even for right now, whatever the circumstances are that you and I would experience and that what we would have, Mary Beth, if you'd come to the piano. The God of the Bible is not just of the past, but of the present for us to live by and to receive again for a fresh touch and a fresh outpouring, a fresh strength and a fresh refuge so that we can share the present tense God to the circumstances around us. I would invite you to stand with me and let's sing one more song, at least a portion of a song. I think you know it without looking in your book, but how great thou art. He's not saying in that song how great you were. He's not saying in that song how great you're going to be, but he uses that word art, not somebody painting a picture, but the present tense reality, how great God is. Let's sing it together this morning. Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art. God of the present, the God of today, and when the morning breaks tomorrow, the God of Monday. Praise God. Whatever the circumstances, whatever the need, if we have that connection, we have that renewal from Him. The opening verse of Scripture spoke about that continual connection, the olive trees and the tubes that ran into and across into those flames, those candles that had the continual burning of the flame. And the prophet was asked, what do these mean? I don't know what they mean, Lord. I don't understand what you're trying to say. But he said, this is what the Lord has for us. It's not by my might. It's not by my power, but it's by Him, that connection through Him. The God of the present. Praise God. How great He is. How majestic He is. And He wants to meet us on a daily basis to meet our needs of the present tense. Praise God. Trust you have a good day today. Trusting in Him, believing in Him, walking with Him. Praise God. Praise God. So thankful for that present tense God that we have. Amen. Amen. Adam Sickler, would you dismiss us in prayer this morning?